What's the most ridiculous because you are a woman moment?
You know, I used to have to carry the bottles in for people. Doing those household kind of work. Looking back today, it was not very pleasant. Women are stereotyped to be dumb. You know, there are some technical stuff being discussed. So the person tends to look twice at a woman and ask, did you understand?
Man, being a feminist in a workplace, it's like somewhere it becomes easier for, you know, man to understand a woman's perspective.
So women in society have faced so much systematically. Like I said, there are some things, certain things which are instilled in us by birth. Being a woman, I have to go and fold that dress because my brother won't do it. Your career won't really take off if you get into writing, because that's what I really love doing.
I've also had many people telling me, even my parents telling me, content writing? I mean, is this seriously? Does it work? Are you going to get paid? I've also had a lot of my friends back in college, and they were like, the divorce rates are getting higher, and the breakups, women don't even listen to a single thing, and a small fight can break a relationship. Hey guys, welcome back to another episode of PowerPod Season 2. I am very happy and excited to have an amazing, inspiring woman with me. Thank you so much, Gagi, for joining me. How do you feel?
Oh, thank you so much, Aishi, for having me here on this podcast. I feel amazing, and let's have fun.
Right. I recently watched your video, you know, that journey video, and you've shared in pandemic, you switched jobs being an educator, and then after a few years, you are happily working here as a content writer. And previously, like before pandemic, you also worked in marketing and sales department,
yes,
right?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's like such a beautiful journey experiencing diverse industries. So I wanted to ask you, what's the most ridiculous because you are a woman moment that you've ever felt anywhere, anytime throughout your, you know, these years of journey?
So yes, so before Girl Power Talk happened, I was, I used to work in male-dominated environments professionally. So definitely I've had, because I'm a woman moment, so we used to have review meetings every week, you know, on Saturdays. Mm-hmm. And it was mainly to catch up on our targets, where we are at with our clients, projects and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So during those meetings, I was supposed to take down the notes and the minutes of the meeting, so-called, and then circulate it. Now, other than this, you know, I used to have to carry the bottles in for people and arrange or make the setup. So it felt like a compliment that, you know, because women are supposed to be more focused at what they do for a long period of time. So maybe I was the ideal candidate, being the only woman to take down the notes and stuff. But
okay, so you were the only woman in your entire team?
I was the only woman pan-India in sales.
Okay.
So it's a very male-dominated field. But yes, so, but, you know, doing those household kind of work, looking back today, it was not very pleasant.
Yeah, I understand. Yeah. It's like, you know, it's weird that women are already expected to do all these things, similar to household things in professional workplace too. It's like, it's sad.
Yeah.
So you've had an amazing and diverse experience throughout your working years. What's the one thing about being a woman in the workplace that nobody talks about, but everybody somehow, you know, get to feel? Is it like something very obvious?
It's so inbuilt that we don't even get to realize it. It happens when you are among a lot of men, but women are stereotyped to be dumb. So if there's an Excel sheet which is being put up, and like, you know, there are some technical stuff being discussed, so the person tends to look twice at a woman and ask, did you understand?
Confirmation.
And it has happened so many times that I can't tell you. Like I said, being in a workplace as diverse as ours, here you will never get to feel it. But if you are
in a male-dominated place,
absolutely, yeah, they think you don't know some. I mean, it's kind of a given that maths, oh, you'd be weak at it. But I love maths, so it was kind of a challenge.
Yeah, as you told me that you've had a lot of, you know, like weird experiences and all these type of things throughout.
As a woman.
Yeah, sorry, as a woman, yeah. So what kind of support? Was there any feeling that you wanted a kind of support or you wish you had in those, you know, early years when you were new to being in a workplace?
Look, the problems that a woman face is not limited to the workplace. So nobody really prepares you for that.
Mm.
There's no support which will prepare you for what is to come, because people who have that set of stereotype will always have it, right? And I think no, my answer, direct answer is no. I don't wish I had any support because I don't have any regrets. My experiences have shaped the kind of person I am. And I think had I not had those experiences, I wouldn't be here, right?
Of course,
with any kind of cushioning or any kind of support, maybe, you know, I wouldn't have felt the impact to, you know, declare today that yes, I'm a feminist. So that kind of thing wouldn't have been instilled in me with cushioning. So no, not really. But yes, I do wish we had social media back in those days, or even Google, so that we could, you know, at least decide on what career path would be good. Like people used to say that there's no, like, you know, your career won't really take off if you get into writing, because that's what I really love doing, writing, reading.
Yeah.
So that's what people told me. I didn't have the means to look up myself, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I wish that kind of support would have been there. But yeah, that's about it.
I've also had many people telling me, even my parents telling me, content writer, does it work? Are you going to get paid or anything like that? Then I was like, let's see. I don't know, eventually we'll find out. So that was the thing, and I'm pretty happy, you know, to be here right now.
So I'm happy on your behalf that you found, you know, your passion in a professional setup very early on in your career. So yeah,
thanks to social media.
Thanks to the internet.
Right. You also talked about, you know, like a man being a feminist in a workplace. It's like somewhere it becomes easier for a, you know, man to understand a woman's perspective. So what is your perspective of feminism when you be restricted to being in a workplace?
Remember I told you I was an educator for a while. So I had a male student who we were reading a poem in English, and he said, why, I mean, women are getting equal rights, my mother is working, why do you all still do feminism, you know, what is this feminism about, why women? So I gave him an example, which I'll give you. That is my idea of feminism, that say you have an exam next week on Monday, and today is a Monday, and you have exactly 1 week to prepare yourself, and you are looking at a 95 and above, right? Percent, which means that you have to score equally well in all the subjects,
right?
So you are weak in English, but the rest of the subjects you are very good at. So to get that 95 up, would you focus on all subjects equally throughout the week, or only on English because you are weakest at it and your target is to score, you know, very high? English, right? So women in society have faced so much over the years systematically. You know, we have been like I said, there are certain things which are instilled in us by birth. I would say by birth, because as soon as we learn to feel, we know that being a woman, I have to go and fold that dress because my brother won't do it.
Yeah.
Right? So these things are so fed.
Or maybe I have to pick up those towels from the bed and then I have to hook them up. Yeah.
I mean, you know, it's so fed in us that now is the time when we focus on pulling them up, those who are already downtrodden. And the women we see who are privileged enough to have an equal, you know, footing with men, they're very few. And unless we talk constantly about this, about how women have rights too. Women are humans too. Women have, you know, women need that attention too. Mm-hmm. We can never come at an equilibrium, come, you know, society can never be equal. So now is the time to pull them up. And, you know, when I say women, of course, there are other genders, like any gender other than man, which needs a boost, a pulling up. And that is what our society should really aim at. So it's not only about the fact that we are ignoring the men, but we are trying to achieve an equilibrium.
For women to come up and stand, absolutely. You know, like beside men. And yes. then, of course, we can grow.
Absolutely.
Helping each other.
So
out,
we will talk know. About men's rights too. And, you know.
Yeah. But eventually.
But let it be equal. Yeah. Don't just see around you and
everywhere
say.
Everywhere there's women.
Exactly.
Women.
Yeah. That's my idea.
Actually, yeah. Very, very true. I've also had a lot of my friends back in college and they were like that, you know, after this women thing has started, the divorce rates are getting higher and the breakups, women don't even listen to a single thing, and a small fight can break a relationship. They are just not tolerant enough. And now I come up with the question, why only women has to be tolerant enough? You know, it's just that you are coming up all together, you are being in a relationship, you have to respect her feelings and she has to respect your feelings. It's like, it's a mutual thing. But you know, a man is always accepted to have anger issues. It is fine, you know, like, aise hi hote hain, you know, we usually get this feel. But women are always expected to be tolerant, tumko samajhna chahiye, all these type of things. I don't know why.
Yeah, so I think you should...
Sadly, it still exists.
So I think you should do a section on feminism alone, because there's a lot to say and a lot to discover and unearth. But yeah.
I truly agree with this. We actually want a separate segment on feminism and we'll be doing it, you know, very soon.
Yeah.
Did you ever feel you had to work twice as hard to get half the credit?
Yes, in a... male dominant setup, definitely. So I was in sales, like, you know, and we had targets. So the people around me in in the same level position as I was had almost the same targets as I was. I say almost because there were a few who had lesser targets. And even after having fulfilled all the targets, I was not paid as much as they were, forget as much, not even half of what they were paid. And also, even if we keep the you know, payment thingy aside, once I remember I had bagged a very important order for Delhi NCR. It was one of the highest orders in value orders in 5 years. And the mail, the congratulatory mail that came from the head office did not have me in it. All that was my client. And,
oh, seriously?
Yes, it happened. And I remember the entire office was a little shocked when the mail came, because I was sitting and I didn't get the mail. I was like, what mail are you all talking about? And then I went and saw. And so there was a call from the head office where they said, okay. So I was recently married at that time. I said, you are a lucky charm after you got married.
Oh, and God, don't
yes.
tell me.
So you... work twice, 10 times as hard, but even then you're not getting...
What name was there on the letter?
The other
on
people.
The mail.
So like I was sharing that sales is never a one-person job. And that too, it was a big order. And I was on the entry level, right? There were my seniors. They had to seal the deal. But like, you know, the client used to contact me for everything. And from everything, like I did hands-on every kind of thing you would expect at that level from me. But that mail didn't have me. I was the key contact person for that client. But I'll tell you what happens is your efforts don't go unrecognized, because when I shifted out of the organization, the client shifted with me. They went elsewhere. So,
awesome. Yeah, tip for tat.
That happened. It's not it. I just hope they understood that, okay, you know, the client was there maybe somewhere. I won't take all the credit. That will be foolish of me. But somewhere the client was there because she could retain it. So, well. That happened.
Yeah, right. I would like to ask that many people, especially women, they truly hardcore believe that like they are to be a primary caretaker in a family, and they usually juggle between career and family, taking care, responsibilities, everything like that. So what would you say to a woman or a perspective where woman is, you know, like highlighting the career over these traditional responsibilities or societal expectations? Because I have seen a lot of women who literally feel guilty when they are not able to manage up or balance up the things, and they're like, maybe I should leave my job, maybe I should take a career break, or you know, maybe I should give some time, I'll resume after a few years, which is like, which never happens. Because once you are totally involved in a family, then it's very, very difficult to come out again, and to, you know, it's like resistance. So
see, guilt comes from external factors. Okay, that is where I was talking about the societal mindset, right? So guilt is never from within. If it is from within, you have to realize that it's because there are some things which are instilled in you by society that you're feeling guilty, right? Mm-hmm. So if you are juggling between home and a career and you are feeling guilty because, say, your child has fallen ill and you have to go to office, so whatever you do on that day, you stay with your child or you choose to go to office and complete your commitment, you'll feel guilty. Yeah. But that is where the role of a very supportive environment works. And I would say I'm very lucky to have a very supportive partner and very supportive parents and family, both set of parents, even my husband's parents. So they are the ones who help mitigate that guilt, which shouldn't be there in the first place, because it's your choice, you get to make it. Ultimately, we shouldn't feel guilty for making our choices.
Of course, of course. I also work with the SEO team, and we have SEO team's director, Mustafa. There is a very famous saying, which I, you know, totally loved that day. Mm-hmm. It's like taking some other's monkey on your shoulder. It's more like supporting someone. And we were joking one day that, you know, he was asking in a meeting that, do anyone have any issues regarding anything? And everybody was so quiet and everybody was like, yeah, everything's smooth, we're doing well. Then somebody came up and said, yeah, maybe that's because all of our monkeys are on your shoulder, so you are the only one who's stressed out here. So it's always about a balance, of course. Within a family, a husband or, you know, parents have to share that responsibility with you and to support you. And in workplace, of course, we are literally very lucky to have, you know, such an inclusive workplace, and it's going well. So we are remembering you, Mustafa. Thank you so much. We love you.
We love you, Mustafa.
Okay. And you know, there is also a feel that women are already very pressured in a workplace to become or to be likable. they want to be generous enough to convey their thing without being aggressive, you know, labeled as aggressive. So how do you think that worked out for you?
The balance between being likable and being aggressive, I haven't been able to figure out, to be honest. I'm trying each day, because I do feel sometimes that was this too much? Was this male too strong? Did I say something too strong? So I think you have
Was it like offensive? It's like people sitting on my left and right. I usually ask, is this male, does it look fine? is it looking aggressive?
Even with a simple message, I mean, I have something which is very important to address at 11:30 at night, because I've just had a client meeting. Should I send this message? Is it too late? Is it too early? I mean, you know, that will always be there. So I don't have a clear answer. I think you should ask our HRs.
Because HRs will probably bring you in the next episode, and then we'll ask you the same question.
Yes, because when you get to know, let me know too.
It's like I have also thought about it a lot. But maybe our HR will, you know, give insights. HR. So Gargi, what's your advice for women coming back to workplace after a career break?
Okay, so career break, according to me, is the most natural thing that a person can have. You can have ill health, you can have ailing parents, you can have a kid. You know, career break is very natural. Mm. When the candidate is capable, mm. a career break shouldn't really matter.
Right? Mm. We've always had this thing that gap in CV, oh my God, it's such a huge negative point. You know, you'll be questioned for it. It's like very negative perspective. But, and because of that, people actually jump for those fields or those industries who they never even thought they'd do.
Absolutely. So that's where companies like Girlbar Talk come in, because they, when I came in with my CV, I was very apprehensive.
Mm.
And they actually, like, even you started your podcast with how you like my diverse experience.
Yeah.
Believe me, not many people think that way. So, yeah. This is a very welcome change that where people are actually inviting experience and inviting diversity in yourself as well.
Hmm. Girl Power Talk has always been a platform where, you know, you can bring in your diverse experiences, diverse perspectives all together, and we, by joining hands, get to know what figures out best for us. And it's the superb thing. I was also huge, you know, confused in the start. I knew I liked writing. I wanted to do writing, but I also wanted to explore SEO. I also wanted to explore marketing, PR, branding, and all of this. And today I am doing a little bit of all. And it feels so good. I'm doing YouTube videos. I'm doing marketing, PR, outreach, you know, research. It's like super. I'm enjoying it here.
Yeah, I know. Me
and
too.
You get to experience, you know, skills and insights of each industry, and then you'll
and then
be
grow
a,
in any which you are good at.
Exactly. I mean, right.
It's a very different place. Mm. I've had experience, like you said, in different places. I've seen people around me with different, you know, in different companies and different organizations, and everybody has to say the same thing, that this is something very unique. But this unique should be the norm. That is what I really want to advocate, and I really want people to know and understand that this is what you should, people like to come to work if you are, you know, of this way. So yeah,
makes sense. Yeah, thank you so much, Kargi. It was so nice talking to you. I loved you here, and I know it was, you know, at such a short notice, but still you came. Thank you so much.
So in my, I'll just share this, I'm sorry if I'll take a little more time, but I really, really like to have this kind of things, and I always ask my people, my family, to keep recording me. They hate it. So thank you for having me, because it's something which I really wanted to do.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Ayushi.
Thank you so much.